All ham is bits.
Doesn't like bits and bites. And we're rolling.
Bits and bites. We're rolling? Okay. Hi, I'm Russ.
And I'm Rich.
And we're two dads who love watching...
And talking?
...movies. On this podcast, we're...
What the fuck is going on here?
Sean, relax.
Who is this? This is Rich.
This is my neighbor, Richard.
Russ just told me to sit here.
What is he doing in my chair?
You don't remember what you said.
You said you were playing Dungeons and Dragons.
Sean, remember that podcast today where you said if the idol wasn't nominated for an Emmy, then you'd leave the podcast and Rich could take over? Here, I've got it.
I watched The Idol. I went and did all five episodes. I made a little side bet with Russ that I thought the acting was so good on two that they might both get a little Golden Globe nod next year.
I thought you said Emmy.
Didn't you say Emmy?
No, I said Golden Globe.
They're not going
to. He says no. And
is there money on this?
Actually, Rich is going to take the place of whoever loses.
That's right.
Yeah, Rich is going to be the new leader of the podcast.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, well, sorry, I got it confused again. It was Golden Globes?
I said Emmys. Did you hear that? I said Emmys.
You said either. It doesn't matter. Either way, you lost.
I said Emmy. Whatever. Hey, Rich, come here for a second.
Oh, ouch.
Okay, well, good luck.
I'll walk you home,
buddy. Good luck having him on the podcast today.
Rich, a good friend, a neighbor, and a listener of Just Another Review podcast. Sometimes he listens to the podcast while he's in the shower.
Oh.
So potentially he was rubbing his junk during that last segment.
Don't drop the soap.
Here we go. Should we
don't get drop the soap. Let's go.
Okay.
Are you going to finish the...
I don't know. Do I? It says Sean coughs and then starts talking.
Oh, right.
I'm just reading the script.
All right. Today we're going to be chatting about the 1992 film Howard's End. And we've been watching movies together since we were 10 years old in my basement.
That's Sean.
Right. 36 years later, we're back in Russ's babe.
That's me.
And in this podcast, we're going to mispronounce the opening spiel.
Mm-hmm. Forget actors' names.
And most importantly, we're going to try and have a little bit of fun.
This is Just Another Review podcast.
I knew I'd probably mess that part up.
I like this and you like that. It's Just Another Review podcast. We pick a show, sit down and chat. Now listen to the start of our show because it's now.
Happy 2024.
Yes, the Golden Globes just came out and oh. Rust was very kind to remind me of the
outcome.
Yeah, the bet, the sort of, I'm trying to figure out a good word for silly, that silly bet.
The silly, what's a good word for silly?
Let's
just use the word
frivolous?
Silly.
Frivolous?
Oh, frivolous? Sure, would sure. Just a off the side of the cuff bet where you thought The Idol was the best show of 2023,
well,
and therefore it would be awarded.
I thought maybe critics might have thought that better, but no.
Oh, so you blame the critics, not your poor sense of judgment.
Well, I still think there was good acting, but I guess there was better acting out there.
There's better acting out there in them succession minds. You've seen The Bear. You know how much better TV shows can be. Mm, that's your response to that. He's adjusting levels.
I am adjusting
syllables.
Things. It's been a while. We've taken a couple of weeks off. It's been a Christmas
while.
Break, right?
Yeah, we Merry Christmas, everyone. Happy Hanukkah. We're back 2024. It's January. We've had a great break. We actually spent some time together this break where we spent some time with other listeners, Jason, Matt all the way from California. Matt, our Cali boy. He was up, and he was giving us. He's where The Great Outdoors was a little bit inspired. I've stopped rating our movies by JARP points and just said, is it better or worse than Just Another Review podcast?
I don't think I agree with that.
No, you shouldn't. But I do it to piss off Matt. Thank you, Matt, our listener, and it works because him and his family were quite upset at me.
But do you do it to piss me off?
I don't. That doesn't matter to me. I don't care what you feel.
Oh.
It's more about that's nice of you. So Matt's son was making fun of my love for La La Land during the holiday break, just as like a, you know, well, you make fun of Great Outdoors, well, screw your La La Land.
Oh,
so I thought that was fair. You know, there's like, it's give and take for both ways,
right? And La La Land does not appeal to Matt's son.
I mean, they live in La La Land, so you think they watch it every day before they got ready for school or work, or it's like the Pledge of Allegiance. Like, let's all watch La La Land.
Nice.
But I don't. But that's in my opinion, that's nice. What they would do.
A couple more shout-outs. Just want to give a couple quick shout-outs to some listeners. Oh. Chantel and Travis in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan.
Oh, yeah.
Rod at work listens. Ian listens.
You're just naming all seven listeners?
Yeah, all seven listeners.
Okay. And if we didn't capture you, hey, we're sorry.
This might make them happy. Extra happy.
That's all I want.
Listen, she's going to show it to a friend. Listen, I heard my name.
And that is our podcast resolution, is just make other people happy.
Yeah.
So we want to.
But not me.
Not Sean.
Because you refuse to use my JARP rating maker.
It doesn't matter to me, but I'm in for the listeners. So great. Give us an email, jarppodcast@gmail.com.
So glad you're here for them.
If you personally know us, feel free to reach out. Let us know how you feel about the podcast. What we could be doing more.
Right. We'd be doing get less. You going, right?
I'm so excited.
Because in this podcast, we're talking about the 1992 film Howard's End. And yay. Guess what, everybody? Surprise, surprise. This was my pick. Thank you, Sean, for... We suggested a long list of films, and you said, no, it's time. We give you an opportunity.
You know what? I poke at you for these kind of period piece movies and all that, and I thought, you know what? Like... Maybe I should actually watch one of these movies before I can poke anymore.
And keep it open mind when you watch it.
Right. First. And I tried. So we watched this movie, and now I can officially poke the bear.
Oh, speaking of great outdoors.
Because Howard's End, it was...
Well, it's fucking exhilarating.
It was. It's like ice fishing. You know.
A great sport.
That's how I compared Howard's End. It's just like ice fishing.
Any more of that? We just see the listener should use their imagination from there.
Use your imagination.
Okay. So 1992. Let me talk about a few things that happened in the year of film in 1992.
Okay.
Ronnie Downer Jr. was nominated for the movie Chaplin.
That was probably like his first sort of, like this was that his first blah, blah, blah?
I think this was the first time Hollywood was like, pay attention,
this guy's not doing drugs anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Well, or he's about to like go on a bender, but he's, you know, we're gonna award him for all his good work.
Nice.
And he went above and beyond in this film. This was his opportunity.
How did he go above and beyond?
I think he just immersed himself in the role.
You don't think I'm just kidding.
You don't think RDJ got immersed in the role?
I haven't seen it in the longest time. I think I've seen it once, and when it first came out, and I probably would appreciate it a little bit more in my this day and age.
Yeah, and I think
we should go back.
So he was playing the Hollywood. He was playing the game, right? You know, similar to like Bradley Cooper is now. Mm. He wants that Oscar. He's doing everything he can to play that Oscar, and then you know, RDJ's like
6 years of
whatever. You know what? Training. What about if I just play Iron Man and make millions and millions and millions of dollars just by showing up for one day? And he's been doing that for a long time. Fast forward to 2024 Oscars March. Who's going to get an Oscar?
Robert Downey Jr. For Opie. You think for Opie? He's good in Opie.
Yeah, that's my bet.
We'll talk about that later. I've got that. I got a little cultured over the holiday. You'll be thankful that I put the Entourage down. So
okay, good. Good. Yeah. Also in 1992.
Surprise, surprise.
Oh, Lorenzo's Oil, directed by George Miller.
Lorenzo's Oil?
Yeah, that's a movie.
Is it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It was nominated for Academy Awards.
Oil as in the oil country? There will be blood?
I don't think ever seen
that. Or is it about a masseuse? You know, I'm Lorenzo.
It's like perfumed oil.
This is my oil.
So you know when you're on your
Mrs. Smeagol, I come over and oil
you. You're lying down in your front, and the massage is just like, are you cold? Are you warm?
Oh, yeah, comfortable? Lorenzo.
And you're like, no, I'm good. And they get the cream on their hands.
Sorry, wait, I missed that sound again? Oh, my eye!
And they get the cream on their hands. And then sometimes they kind of wave it by your nose just to be like, how do you like this scent?
Waved creamy hands in front of their nose.
Yeah, how's this scent for your body? And you're like, that's good. Thank you. Please.
I know that scent. That's Lorenzo's oil.
Thank you, Lorenzo.
Who have you been screwing, Latina?
Nobody. Nobody, Ricardo.
I smell Lorenzo's oil all over your boobies.
Oh, Jesus.
No. No, that's not Ricardo. That's your love juice.
I know my love juice from Lorenzo's oil. I'm going to stone you now.
Ah!
Couple other things in 1992. Leonardo DiCaprio was in Growing Pains.
Mm.
Brendan Fraser was in Encino Man. Each other. And the best representation of Indigenous was The Last of the Mohicans.
Sorry, I'm still back in Growing Pains.
In 2024, we've got Killers of the Flower Moon.
Nice.
Being, they're going to win something. Maybe just it's like just for Best Actress. Who knows? Mm. Also a fun thing, when I was going back into the 1992, kind of the 93 time period, Emilio Estevez, big freaking deal.
Yeah, guy, man.
That guy was a big, I kind of forget how big of a deal Emilio Estevez was. And we'll make a little connection with
him. Good for him for keeping the family name. You know what? Screw his dad. Screw the Sheens.
Don't they have separate moms? They've got the same dad, but separate moms. I thought they had
They got the same dad, but separate moms. They're both bastard boys with the same old dad.
I love that song. I remember it.
That show came after Growing Pains.
Right. Silver Spoons.
So you had to go to, you don't remember because you went to Bastard Son. Yeah. When you heard the credits for Growing Pains, like, Ross Bedtime.
I could watch 20 minutes of America's Funniest Videos. I wish I could
stay up and watch, though.
And then
Bastard Son's show with Sean at his house. He gets to watch the show.
I can watch, I can eat stovetop stuffing at Sean's house at 6, and then Bastard Son's at 7 at my house.
Can I sleep over at Sean's?
Why do you want to sleep over at Sean's?
His mom allows him to watch Bastard Son.
He's got Lorenzo's oil.
Other movies that were released in 1992, other than this movie, Howard's End, My Cousin Vinny.
Nice, we watched that one.
Yeah, Basic Instinct.
Nice, I've watched that one.
We have talked about that one, I'm pretty sure. And White Men Can't Jump, which we haven't talked about.
There's podcast. A remake of that one, eh?
There is, on the Disney Plus.
Did you watch it?
No, I didn't.
Good.
Okay, did you watch it?
No.
This movie, Howard's End, was directed by James Ivory.
He what also, other type of movies did he do?
He did The Remains of the Day.
Oh!
You know.
Again, another exhilarating movie. It's just you know, you when just I was 14
put a coin in the jar
old,
for doing nothing.
I don't know how.
You thought about a swear word, but yeah, you didn't say a swear word.
I don't know how at 14 years old, these movies just were not on my radar, hey, Russ.
Some of us had class.
Hey, I guess.
He also did A Room with a View in 85, which also.
It's fucking exhilarating.
Written by the same author,
E.M. Foster. Again, another movie I can't believe I've missed, you know.
He did the screenplay Call Me By Your Name in 2017. Did you see that?
Nope.
Okay. Speaking of actors, in this movie is Emma Thompson.
Oh, really?
She plays Margaret Spiegel.
Spiegel?
In the same year, she had one episode of Cheers.
Oh.
So she obviously
flew across
the pond. Up and comers. Flew across the pond. Went to, where was Cheers? Boston?
Went and made out with Ted Danson.
Maybe. You think so?
Hey, I don't know.
Maybe it was Coach. Maybe that's what killed Coach.
Hey.
Emma Thompson.
Emma Thompson killed the coach.
And as soon as this hit, next year, Much Ado About Nothing, Remains of the Day, 93, In the Name of the Father, 93.
Okay.
Lots of big movies. Okay. So this was kind of like the thing that just, I mean, she won an Academy Award.
For this movie.
For this, Sean, let me tell you, she was nominated for this movie, she won.
Okay.
She like just, you don't think Emma Thompson was good in this movie?
We'll get to that.
Anthony Hopkins is also in here. He plays Henry Wilcox. The year before, he's in Silence of the Lambs. Don't look at me. Don't look at me. Shame.
Shame. Don't look at me. Don't.
The same
year. If you can't see my eyes, I don't feel shame.
The same year. If you've seen Howard's End, Anthony Hopkins does this thing where he puts his hand in front of his face so Emma Thompson can't see him, look him in the eyes.
Yeah.
And Sean's doing that to me this whole podcast.
Yeah, I
can't look at him. The same year, he's in Chaplin and Bram Stoker's Dracula, one of our favorites.
Okay, that makes sense, and we'll get to that.
That makes sense, and then we'll get into that.
The fact that he did Bram Stoker's Dracula the same year he did this, and I've got a note on that.
Okay.
Okay.
But Anthony Hopkins has been around for a while. So he's been, you know, since 1968.
Do you speak English?
Not really.
They don't in this movie either.
They speak high English, actually. Proper English.
Okay.
Helen Bonham Carter is in this, playing Helen Schlegel. Again, up and comer. Helen Bonham Carter, obviously.
Russ is doing the erection sign here.
Obviously, it's a reverse
it's
Hitler.
Up and coming.
And obviously
Lorenzo's oil,
our favorite in in what the fuck's that Brad Pitt movie?
War.
Fight Club.
Fight Club. Mm. Samuel West is in here playing Leonard Bass.
Great.
Shakespearean actor, lots of TV. He's in Slow Horses. Have you seen Slow Horses?
No, is that the one with Gary Oldman?
Yeah, it's really good.
I know what you're talking about. There's two seasons. I bet it's good. I'm not going to slam it because of Gary Oldman. I bet it's good.
I bet it's good. Do you know what Gary Oldman's in?
Dracula?
Oppenheimer. And Dracula, Silence of the Lambs. Not Silence of the Lambs, Dracula, Bram Stoker's. And Academy Award winner Vanessa Redgrave plays Ruth Wilcox. Vanessa Redgrave was in Mission Impossible, which also had Emilio Estevez. I would say Mission Impossible in 1986 was Emilio Estevez. Like, that's where he kind of went from like top build to
B-list supporting guy.
Supporting guy, like crushed in an elevator shaft.
That was probably the it. And then they brought him back for Mighty Ducks.
Hasta Lasagna. Reduced. Don't get any on ya. And she was also, or she is also, or she was also the mother-in-law of Liam Neeson.
Oh.
Yeah.
Her daughter's in this movie too.
Right.
While she dies, spoilers alert, she dies early in the movie. But her
Ruth
real
Wilcox?
Life. Yeah, her real life daughter
plays one of her daughters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Isn't that interesting?
One of the few interesting things about this movie.
Surprise, surprise. It only took $8 million to make this movie, but it made $32 million worldwide. It was nominated for 9 Oscars. It won 3 Best Actress, Best Screenplay, Best Art Direction. For the BAFTAs, nominated for 11, won 2 for Actress in Film. So that's my little intro for Howard Zahn, Sean's favorite movie so far of 2024.
Gotta love it. Let's move on.
Prior to 1900s, one knew their place. They did not placate or interfere with those outside the status. For their mere action, what one could even perceive as well-intended, sent ripples across the social fabric of England. But it was the end of our glory under the reign of Edward VII, where social conventions were falling lax, and Mr. Bast and Mrs. Schlegel were, dare I say it, sitting in the same row right beside each other at the Ethical Hall during music and meaning. This cross-pollination of classes created the opportunity to inadvertently take one's umbrella, which, of course, leads to social curiosity, burned secrets, unrequited love, flippant advice and rash decisions, heart disease, and a good German sword thrashing. On the flat of it, of course, obviously. And here we are, can you imagine, the offspring of an unemployed daydreaming clerk inheriting Howard's End.
I was going to interrupt you there and say, why didn't you give me anything to say? I understand now, because I would have ruined this. But Russ just totally improvs to the second. And this was not rehearsed, but fit that right within the audio clip.
Oh, really? Was that as long as the audio clip?
That was the exact length of the music clip that I had picked.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, that was brilliant. That was hang on a second. That was...
Oh, thanks, everybody. It's kind of like Howard's End.
Yeah, that was really good. That was well done. I'm glad I didn't interrupt that.
So, Sean, I don't know if you know this, but in England, in the early 1900s...
Really? I'm going to tell you something.
There is a change of leadership in the monarchy, and it kind of represented a change within the social class structures, whereas before there was a lot more segregation, where those walls were starting to come down. Also, there was the suffrage, with women being able to start to vote, and obviously the upcoming World War I, so lots of things were changing. And the idea of these class divides being broken down and classes starting to intermingle, obviously, UK in general, where they were like the heavy hitters for so long, their power on a world level was starting to diminish, and America and Germany and all those places were starting to rise. So there's huge change in England, and that's part of what this film, this story, represents.
Right.
Just want to give you some perspective as you go through this. So what?
Wait. I have something would like to add to this too. If we're going to be pandering each other like this,
will wrap it up in one simple phrase.
Is this your... Go fuck yourself.
No, really, I appreciate the breakdown there. Thanks for dumbing it all down for me. I wouldn't have understood any of this, honestly, if you didn't say anything. So, no, I get it. I got that there's obviously some sort of social classes here. Like Anthony Hopkins at one point says, you know, don't worry about the poor. Don't worry about them. Don't pay them no mind. Let them sort of suffer on their own and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, there's three levels of like of class here. There's like very upper echelon, which like Anthony Hopkins and his family represents. And then you've got kind of the bureaucratic,
more the Schmeagle liberal, and her... Is that guy her brother?
Yes. Right. So it's like, like they're... And so they've got some allowances, which allows them to continue to live, but they've got a budget within their allowance. It's nice. They live comfortably, but they live and kind of survive within the budget that they have inherited. And then you've got like the complete lower class, which is the Bass. And so you see these three families living quite differently and the impacts it has as these families start to mix. And unfortunately, Pooh always runs downhill. And so you could think that maybe Anthony Hopkins' character, Harry Wilcox, is maybe the bad guy, but then there's also a lot of reliance and a lot of goodwill that comes from that as well.
He's a dick. Let's be honest.
He's ignorant for sure.
He's very stern. He's very straight, but I don't think he's a guy that wavers at all. You know,
no.
And it was very apparent, right? Yeah. You know, when she wants her sister to stay at Howard's End at the end of the movie, but because she got pregnant out of wedlock, it's absolutely... Like, what is so sacred about fucking Howard's End that somebody who's pregnant out of wedlock couldn't sleep there? Like, what...
I don't think it has...
What would that...
I think there's,
but
like...
But no, but he was still able... Sorry, I didn't mean to, like... I'm getting mad. But I mean... Why couldn't she stay at Howard's End, but she was more than welcome to stay at his other places, right? He didn't kick her out of housing her in general. It was just like, absolutely, she can't stay at Howard's End. She could stay anywhere else, but for some reason...
Because this is the inner turmoil of someone's character based on his wife who passed, who left... who left this Howard's End to the Schlegels, and he and the resentment and whatever, like the guilt, all that emotion inside of him prevented him from him being able to objectively go, yes, they need help, I'm going to give them a space.
Like, it was like an ego thing for him.
Yes, exactly. So like he struggled with that internally. He probably struggled with the perception of what that would be for his kids, struggled on the fact that he made a decision back in the day when his wife passed that they would not get it. So now he's all running into this moral dilemma of like, what do I do? And that just... In, like just relieves him from being able to make an actual objective decision. Whereas in like, yeah, I've got this huge apartment in London. You can have that. No problem. It's got, yeah, it was immense. Like it was insane how like three people did not need to live there, but this small cottage out like across the other side of England. No, you can't have that only because my wife really secretly wanted you to have it in the beginning. And I said, no, and now I can't make that decision, but fate has a way.
Let's talk about the efficiency of the pigeon carriers in this movie. What do you mean? Let's send a telegraph. What do you think a telegraph is? It's carried by a pigeon.
It's like Morse code.
No, man. It's carried by a fucking pigeon.
I think that's one of the cool things about this film is
beep,
like...
Beep, 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 beep. I just made out with Mr. Bass today. Beep, 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 beep.
Went across UK and that night I'm, oh my God, Rita made out with Mr. Bass today. They're getting married. Where does it say she's getting married? It doesn't, but they made out. That means they're getting
engagement.
Married. Let's
engagement.
Let's go there tomorrow and ruin everything. Okay.
Well, you got to think like all these things have meaning.
I'm still going on my bit.
Well, they keep going. Don't stop.
Beep, 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 beep.
Oh, error in the Morse code. We did not get married. We did not make out. We just touched hands. No, no, no. Turn the cart around. They're not getting married anymore. Telegraphs. Not so efficient, are they?
Well, it was better than nothing.
I guess.
Better than carrier pigeons.
I just found it funny. She like made out with that guy or I don't know, sent a telegraph that day.
Right.
I got it.
Well, yeah.
And then the next day, like, oh, she's getting married. Let's go to the wedding. Ah!
Well, that's the thing, right? You don't come on, like, especially at a higher status, you don't touch a woman, you don't have sex with a woman unless you have pure intentions.
Right.
So like, pure. So you think about like a horny little guy, he's just like, well, I'll marry you, no problem. Just, you know, it's just heavy petting, please. And so he probably, you know, within that kind of lustful night.
We're being spied on.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
Oh. Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Okay. Lila's coming in. She got...
Uh-oh. Daughter needs help.
What do you want me to do? Open this?
She needs daddy's strength.
Okay. There you go.
I like your haircut, by the way. Thank you. Welcome.
Not the best time for your child to walk into a...
And what am I pandering about now?
Yeah. So everything has...
Telegraphs.
Telegraphs, right?
Telegraphs.
So everything has meaning. Like,
beep, 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 beep.
And that's what why everything that... Every decision is made has a action, has a reaction.
Like, she should have just chilled on the telegraphing. And like, when you telegraph, you better make sure.
Yes, it was hasty.
You better fact check for one. Get your story straight.
Well, he said,
and you better make sure what you say is what you want to say.
But he probably implied that they were engaged. Like, I'd like to, you know, and in order for you to kiss me, I'm going to engage with you. And like,
whoa.
And she's
that's
like,
commitment.
Yeah. And so she's like, oh, kissy, kissy, kissy. Oh, I better. Oh. And she's like, that's the first time I've kissy, kissy, kissied. And also, like, he's from a well off family. And this is it. This is big news. This is the most exciting thing that's ever happened to me
since
Beethoven. So I've got to run to the telegraph.
To where?
Run, okay. I don't run to the get on the bike.
Okay.
Pedal to the village. Leave a note. Make sure my sister and aunt know right away.
Yeah.
And then come back. And then
I'm so excited. They can kissy kissy.
And then they kissy kissy more. But he's having second thoughts the next morning because he's like,
as
well,
they all do.
As the boys do. Don't trust the boys. So you know, you can see it happening in that time period. But you know, it's interesting. I always like, it's a real like headspace to get into that way of like, we take all this kind of stuff for granted. We can connect with each other and we don't have to make plans anymore. All you have to do is, Sean, what are you doing the weekend? Great. Text me on the weekend. Oh. We no longer have to say,
let's text each other.
Like, oh, I will meet you at this location at 8 p.m. on Saturday. We don't have to do that anymore. We just like refer.
Wait,
to the
you're saying if I texted you, let's meet somewhere at 8 o'clock Saturday night, that you wouldn't have to do that?
I'm saying
you would stand me up.
You don't have to make that plan 6 months in advance for it to actually happen. Even like 2 days in advance, you know, you just say, oh, text me, we'll figure it out.
Right.
But back then, you say something, you make a plan, you stick with it. Like, it's all, there's not that ability to connect with people.
Right.
These are all obvious things, statements I'm making. But it's just, you get right into that world when you're watching Howard's End.
It sounds like a horror movie.
Oh my
movie.
Gosh, how come?
I don't know. It's just, you know, just like, you know, people just say one thing and then they're committed to it, you know, and no one can change their mind.
But Mr.
Bass is just living in turmoil, is doing things he doesn't want to do. He hates his life, and Howard's End. Like, what? Why was Howard's End so like spooky and moody? Spooky. Well, like they're trans. Like, listen, this is a clip. This is an actual clip from the movie here. Okay, listen to this. This is why I think this is a horror movie.
I think about my house a great deal. You've never seen Howard's End. I want to show it to you.
Jesus Christ! Seriously!
That's beautiful.
I like almost shit my pants. I was like, what is up with Howard's End?
There must
probably
have been
the
a
only
cut.
Thing that made me want to watch this movie a little
there
bit
must
more.
Have been a cut there.
There was? No! That is
that's on Vanessa Redgrave the whole time?
No, there is.
It's just
a
like
cut there.
Zooming
that's
into
what
her
I
eye.
Mean. Like, where's the editor here? It's just like, oh shit. You just have to move on.
That's the one thing I didn't think this movie was great with was its editing.
No, that's the dig I was giving it here. Yeah, yeah, its editing was atrocious. So,
yeah, even like there's a one part where they find out about like Wilcox's kind of affair or his indiscretions with like a lady of the night, and he's doing the shame thing. And
shame, then, don't
and
look.
Then Emma Thompson's character is just like, no, no, it's fine. Like, and it was a long time black, ago.
And it kind of cuts up.
They're like having this conversation in like one of the rooms of this house that they're in. And you could tell, like, I guess maybe they're like fading in and out. And it's like, well, maybe like signifying a passage of time, but it just didn't work for
they
me.
They did that earlier in the restaurant scene as did well. They? Yeah. When he was having dinner for the first time with Mrs. Spiegel or whatever like that. And
Mrs. Spiegel.
A bit of do you think, what were his motives, do you think, at first trying to befriend the Spiegels? Like, he could have just forgotten all about them. They ripped up that note that their mom supposedly wrote, but yet he still sort of decided to work his way in there. And at first, you know, obviously he ended up
Leonard Bass. Are you talking about like the Wilcoxes? Okay. Yeah.
And, you know, he eventually married her and all that, but maybe at the beginning it was a bit of, and I don't know why, but it was like sort of like, keep your friends close, keep your enemies closer kind of thing. Like,
I think for him, Emma,
it's like he was trying to monitor her almost, or I don't know. We're like, I don't know.
So this is after his wife dies.
Yeah. But before, when they were just sort of starting to, he was just starting to court her, I guess.
Yeah. And I think for him, it's just like, well, there's obviously a large age gap between, right? So he's like, I'm a widowed old man. I need someone to take care of me and my family. I need someone to take care of my dealings, or if I'm going to have company, I need someone to be able to manage, you know, be an efficient kind of facilitator of conversation. And so Emma Thompson is a beautiful woman. She's, you know, she's smart. She's funny. She can like, work within like a,
what are you doing with your hands?
I don't know. I'm doing like
playing with her reverse Hitler. Nuts with her hands. Is that what she does?
I'm not doing that at all. But she can work very well in a social situation. So I think he sees like he's not only attracted to her, but he sees like here's, even though she's not in the same financial status as me, like this is a good match for me because it's going to be very hard for me to find someone my age.
Could I entice you to possibly share? Well, yes. Well, I don't think you quite No, I do.
But that's what marriages were, an arrangement. And
don't think
like,
you understand. I'm asking you to be my wife. Well, yes, of course.
Like for us now,
it's the
like
worst the proposal ever.
But that's like 2023. That's like 2024. Like we have the ability to be romantic with engagements. We have the ability to like make a wedding more special than it maybe particular is. But back then, it was an arrangement for property, for security. There's a lot of things.
His marriage proposal was lacking, very lacking. But
that's kind of how marriages were back then.
When they were together after that, I did feel they had more of a relationship than you got to see with Mrs. Wilcox, who passed away earlier in the film.
Right.
You didn't see too much of that companionship.
I've got a bubble in my throat right
now. You're talking kind of weird because of that bubble. Well,
that's when you can do weird.
Yeah, there's a part when they first move in across the road in London, and Emma Thompson is like, her character is standing by the window looking out, and she's admiring and seeing a relationship they have. She sees that they, you know, have a loving relationship, and she's probably jealous and she's probably curious, and that's what kind of, you know, creates this ability, you know, this curiosity and this initiative for her to go and kind of talk to Mrs. Wilcox and form a relationship and get close to the family. And was that her overall end plan to marry Harry Wilcox? Probably not consciously, but there is probably something behind that a little bit.
A little conniving, a little deceiving in the beginning that kind of turned into
We're all a relationship. Looking out for ourselves a little bit. Like, you know, you want something, you want that.
Just kind of like girdles. Girdles are quite deceiving, wouldn't you say?
Girdles?
Yeah.
What are girdles?
What's a girdle?
What's a girdle? Like a girdle that the waist
things? Those things that those women wear back in those days where they would tighten them up.
Right, I thought you were talking about like fancy word for women or something.
You know,
like
I couldn't understand why, you know, Mr. Bass was all kind of upset. You know, there's a scene at home and he's got his soon to be wife and she's just, you know, throwing herself at him, you know, she you know, and he's kind of doesn't have time for her and she's just begging him to come to bed and all that and Jackie. He's just not interested, you know. Yeah, and I'm like, "Oh, why are you not interested?" She's this redhead, she's voluptuous, she's got these great curves, and then, you know, and then off came the girdle, and it was just, you know, like... And yeah, so I would kind of understand, you know, that, oh, I get it. I get it. You know, I get it. I get it, Mr. Bass, why you are so upset. So that was quite deceiving, you know. Have you seen that clip before? Have you heard that clip? Russ knows about this. He hasn't seen this clip.
I'm not,
you know,
participating
that
in your clip.
No.
Hi, I'm Kiko. I'm 23. I go to UCSB, and I also bartend.
This is Sean. This is Sean. This, not me. I'm not participating in this.
That was for Matt.
Again.
And that was to make Russ uncomfortable.
And so I quite like stories in this time period, the Golden Age. You know, like the progression of costumes, like the progression, like you talk about the what women and men used to do to make themselves look fancy. Mm. I mean, you think about like the progression of
girdles,
of status, of where people come for so long in like the Middle Ages, and the only way they can really show success and money is like how they dressed, and you can see the idea of like what, you know, for Henry Wilcox, you know, he doesn't need an umbrella.
Like the Schlegels, they had many umbrellas. The Bass got one umbrella. No one had like a casual outfit on in this movie.
Well, Tibby wears robes when he's just chilling at the apartment.
You basically put on a tuxedo. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Because you have to look the part. This is how you show your status.
Could you imagine though, is that how you dressed every day? You're like, oh, I'm going to go to the grocery store.
I wouldn't like it. I wouldn't like it.
I'm going to put on my suit. Full suit and tuxedo before I even step out the door.
And you probably have help. So if you could afford many tuxedos, you'd probably get the help.
Right?
Speaking of Oscar-nominated films.
Woohoo!
So, I don't know. I quite like this movie.
Yeah, obviously.
But you, on the other hand?
I mean, we'll rate it in a tiny bit here. There are some things I could appreciate about it. Okay. I got a note here. I can appreciate the amount of work it would take to do all the set designs and costume designs of a period piece like this, especially in the 90s. I imagine it's probably a little easier overseas where they actually have buildings that still like look like England? This and all that. Whereas in North America, you'd probably be a little bit more hard pressed to find anything naturally that looks like this. You'd have to probably build everything from scratch or a set. So, you know, I'm not saying, hey, they had it easy over there. I'm just saying that it was, you know, they probably had locations to pick from, but I totally appreciate what went into that, the cars, stuff like that.
Again,
it must
really
have taken forever to source that kind of stuff, so you know, I can appreciate that. That's where the points for this movie came from.
Hip hip hooray.
I like
that transition too, because you can see the idea of like how people are getting around, like there's from the train to the new vehicles to the horse and buggy still to just like walking around like Leonard
and Bell. The cars weren't that fast either. You could almost jog just as fast as the car, but you know, obviously you don't want to tire yourself or wreck your clothes or whatever, but yeah.
Leonard, Mr. Wilcox worked for the Imperial Rubber Company, really doing well with this new car technology, let me tell you, because every car needs four tires.
So you have our notes, right?
I have our notes.
Have our notes. Okay, so I watched this movie and, you know, I thought it was...
Well, it's fucking exhilarating.
Just exhilarating. Was lovely. So I thought, you know what? I need the complete inverse of this movie to sort of cleanse my palate. And I was, okay, a house, Howard Zinn, it's about a house down at the end of the road.
Okay.
House on the road. Roadhouse. I watched Roadhouse to cleanse my palate. So I've got a little game for us here, okay? And I want you to play along. You can obviously read my notes. I need you to read out for me here what is 5 reasons Roadhouse is better than Howard's End. All right? And today's guest is Russ.
Oh, hi.
Hi, Russ. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for
You're welcome. This is the easiest show on the world for you to play. All you have to do is read out my list. But, you know, if you could tell us, you know, always iterate that is, you know, the reason why you're writing
reasons
it
why Roadhouse is better than Howard's End.
Are you ready to play the game?
I'm ready.
All right, Russ.
Number 5 reasons, the 5th reason why Roadhouse is better than Howard's End. You can understand what people are saying in Roadhouse.
That's right. That's right. High English, Russ called it in Howard's End. I'm not quite high enough status for Howard's End, that's for sure. Roadhouse, 1. Howard's End, 0. Let's move on.
The fourth reason Roadhouse is better than Howard's End, Sam Elliott is much more handsome than Anthony Hopkins.
I guess this is subjective, but yeah. I don't know. What do you think, Russ?
I put them both on the same bar.
For All right, well, we're still at 1 for Roadhouse, 0 for Howard's End.
Then a third reason that Roadhouse is better than Howard's End is Kung Fu Karate spin kicks and throat rips.
That's right. The violence in Roadhouse is much more realistic than getting slapped with a blunt sword in Howard's End.
Sorry, you're saying the violence in Roadhouse is more realistic than the violence in Howard's End?
Sure. There is no violence in Howard's End.
Well, there's a little bit of violence at the end.
Oh, right, with the sword slap.
Right, and then what happens when you...
He has a cardiac arrest.
And what happens?
He dies.
And?
It's not as good as Roadhouse. Moving on!
The second reason Roadhouse is better than Howard's End is the line, I used to fuck guys like you in prison.
That's right. There's actual line in Roadhouse.
I used to fuck guys like you in prison.
That's right. You won't hear anything like that at Howard's End. We're at 3 for Roadhouse, 0 for Howard's End.
Only one guy goes to prison right. in Howard's End. Is it because he killed somebody? Okay. Because that's realistic.
Okay, Russ.
The first reason Roadhouse is better than Howard's End, according to Sean, is boobs.
That's right. There's lots of boobs in Roadhouse.
I would assume Patrick Swayze's boobs.
Patrick Swayze's boobs and boobs. But thanks for playing, everybody.
Oh, thanks for having us.
Okay, enough.
Sean, do you know that they're making a new Roadhouse?
They're trying to. Supposedly, they're having a lot of difficulty getting it a purchaser for it or whatever like that. Nobody wants to stream it.
Oh,
I think weird. Actually, it's supposed to come out on Prime. Yeah. Prime picked it up, but I don't think it's
directed
supposed to do
by,
very good.
By Doug Liman.
Doug Liman.
And he did movies such as like Born. Edge of Tomorrow and Born. Yeah, he did a Born.
Didn't he do the first Born?
Yeah, he did a first Born, Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
He's it Canadian, stars, Doug Liman, is he not? Pretty sure Doug Liman's Canadian.
You tell me, man.
I don't know.
He's a Jewish-American filmmaker.
Hey, wrong.
But you know who Roadhouse, who stars in Roadhouse 2024?
Jake Gyllenhaal.
That's right. So how is this not being made? I don't get it.
I think it's being made, just nobody wanted I think it's just horrible and nobody wanted to buy it. Nobody wanted to
You're right. It is in post-production, so I think it we'll see it this year.
Right.
And will it be I've never seen surprise surprise the Patrick Swayze Roadhouse.
Oh.
I was rewatching Howard's End multiple times.
Well, I think you should give Roadhouse a go. If I gave Howard's End a go.
Yeah, of course.
Although Howard's End was kind of my karma for picking Hereditary, although you enjoyed Hereditary.
I enjoyed Hereditary.
There you go.
There's no karma for Hereditary. I think when you look at the Jean-Claude Van Damme films that we've had to go back to and I've seen for the first time, I think that's the equivalent, right? What was that one where he
Bloodsport.
Okay, USA. Bloodsport.
Okay, USA. Yeah.
So Bloodsport, Howard's End, to me, that's like the yin and yang of our relationship.
Right. You're yang, I'm yang.
Do you want to rate this? Or do you want to call somebody? Okay, let's rate this.
Let's rate it.
Man, this shit is awesome.
You suck.
Guess what, everybody?
Russ liked it.
This is the time where we rate it. Sean's going to use a JARP scale to be consistent, and it's paying tribute to all the work we've done to get here. So he's going to do that, and it's going to give it 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 JARP, 0 being terrible and he never gives zeros and 5 being the best movie in the world. I'm going to tell you whether I thought it was better than The Great Outdoors. And you know,
I don't mind this, but I think you need to give it a numerical rating so that you can
it's 2 points higher than The Great Outdoors.
Oh,
it's 10 times better. 100% better than The Great Outdoors. It's 101% better. That's numeric for you.
Go fuck yourself.
You know, the characters in Howard's End, way better than the characters in The Great Outdoors. To the point where, you know what, at the end of the day, not a great not a well-edited movie, Howard's End. You could even argue that the Howard's End that they did more recently in 2017, 2018 with Matthew McFadden and Hayley Atwell is potentially a better story, a visual representation of Howard's End based on the novel written by E.M. Forster. I bet you'd have just as much benefit of reading the book as you would watching the show. You'd enjoy it just as much. Unlike something like Mad Max, where you need to watch it. I don't know if you really need to watch Howard's End to really enjoy it. But yeah, no, good movie. I enjoyed it. Love going back to it. Thanks, Sean, for giving it a chance. What did you feel about Howard's End?
Well, I think it was worse than The Great Outdoors.
Okay, interesting. Well, Matt's singing your praises.
But entertainment-wise, it's worth, but I'll give it maybe craft-wise as a movie put together. It is probably better than The Great Outdoors, but I enjoyed The Great Outdoors more. There you go, Maddie. I actually gave it a rating so I can put it in a sort of tier it against other ones. I gave it a 2.25. This is just not my type of movie. Maybe if you're old and have nothing better to do with your time and Coronation Street isn't on, maybe this is the one for you. Mm. Points for costumes and set designs. No, I'm just kidding, Russ. But no, I do give it a 2.25.
2.25, okay.
But it's just not my thing.
Yeah, obviously.
It is some people's thing. I am curious why this was your thing. You know, like I said, we're 14 years old, raging hormones, and you're here watching Howard's End.
First of all, Emma Thompson and Helen Bonham Carter
in the corner of the Roadhouse. What's going on?
Babes in this movie.
They're, really?
They're babes in this movie. Super hot. I don't know. I really like the idea of like status
being alone
and social and like having seeing no different social and like just working through different social structures, like, you know, Good Will Hunting. And there's
that's what you were looking at. And when you were 14, you were really like, you know, picking it apart.
I think
like
you can live multiple. There could be multiple facets of your life.
I don't got hair on my balls, but I sure enjoy the social structure constructs here.
Russ, what are you doing?
Ready for stargazing?
Okay.
A couple things, Sean. It's Oscar Watch 2024.
Ooh,
looking back at the 2023
on.
Films. We've mentioned it already a little bit. I think the nominations will be announced within a couple days of this podcast being released.
Oh.
The broadcast is Sunday, March 10th. We're a couple months away from that still. Any predictions?
No, I don't.
Best film, Oppenheimer, Killers of the Flower Moon, Poor Things, what's going to win?
No, I don't think Killers of the Flower Moon will win Best Picture.
Okay, you thinking more Lily Gladstone, Best Actress versus Emma Stone?
Yeah, I think that Lily Gladstone will probably take it away. Not because she's fabulous in Killers. She's absolutely amazing. But I haven't seen the other one, so I can't really make too much of a comment on like Emma Stone's performance. I haven't seen The Holdovers yet, so I can't comment on Paul Giamatti. Anatomy of Fall. I don't get it. I don't get the hype of this movie. I mean, I'm all for ambiguity and all that. And they did a really good job of that, especially obviously at the end. But I don't always
enjoy the movie.
Need things to wrap up or need a... But I don't know. For some, it just... I don't know.
It didn't work for you.
No, so I needed a little bit more payoff.
An international film, Anatomy of the Fall, it's getting a lot of buzz right now, winning awards, potentially going to end up be nominated for a few things for the Oscars for 2023. Sean's seen it. He did not like it.
No.
I haven't seen it, so no. I can't comment.
I didn't hate it, but I certainly...
You didn't think it's worth an Oscar.
No, I'm not putting it up on a pedestal, that's for sure.
Yeah, but no. You also gave Howard's End 2.25.
That's right.
So I don't really
and know. It won an Academy Award, so what do I know?
Multiple. You know what? What else is coming up in 2024 is Furiosa, a Mad Max
right. set. You'd like to talk about that one.
Well, I just think we should just keep it going.
Okay.
This is going to be...
What new information do you have to provide?
There isn't a lot being released right now. I just thought, you know, if you just wanted to talk about it for a bit,
but we don't
have to talk about it.
Well, I just don't have anything new other than watching the trailer.
Over and over and over and over
again. No, I actually didn't go watch it again.
You did?
No, I didn't.
No, you didn't. Don't you?
No, I should. I'm trying. See, I want to be surprised.
Surprise.
I want to be surprise when I watch it, you know?
Surprise, surprise.
And I'm like, oh, yeah.
Sean, you said that you
couldn't. Russ would be like, I knew that was coming.
You said you could.
I knew that was going to happen.
He's that annoying guy in the theater just keeps slapping you in the chest.
I knew that. I knew that.
I know that guy. He's like, hello, my name, Captain Morgan. I was like, dude, just let him say. I knew it first.
How do you
get this from watching the trailer 10 times?
My hand was not slapping in the chest. It's in your popcorn bag.
Yeah.
Fiddling with your bowels. You said you couldn't understand the English in Howard's End. Speaking of that, I've been watching The Traitors, UK edition. I watched season one of The Traitors. Have you seen The Traitors yet?
The Traitors.
T-R-A-I-T-O-R-S. Okay,
Traitors.
Traitors. Okay. So there's like a Traitors America. There's a Traitors Canada. There's a Traitors UK. It's like a reality show.
Okay, like Amazing Race.
Like an Amazing Race. Okay. But they're all in a house, in a mansion, in a castle, in the UK version, in Scotland. And there's a host, and there's like 22 people, I'm going to guess, and three of them are traitors, and the rest are just faithfuls. So, and the idea is you don't know who really is a faithful or a traitor. And so at the end of each day...
At
the end of each day, everyone gets together and tries to vote out a traitor. And then after that, the traitors can kill one faithful. And so the idea is at the end of the season, if there's a traitor left over, they get all the money. And if the faithfuls are able to eliminate all the traitors, they get to share the money, whatever faithfuls are left. And it's this huge kind of like social chessboard trying to figure out who's
and
who.
And the traitors are tasked with doing that exactly. Not being truthful.
Right. Conniving. Like they pretend they're faithfuls, but at the end of each day, they can vote out one of the...
And then what are the rules for a faithful? Who's to say that they're actually being truthful or whatever?
Right. So, I mean, like, obviously, if you come in, you don't know what you're going to be. The producers say you're a faithful, you're a traitor. You have certain, rules that you have to follow, but you can't lie. Like, you could lie to anybody. You could go up to another contestant and be like, even though you're faithful, you could be like, I'm a traitor. But there's no I've only seen one season. I don't know what value it would give you because you could potentially
Get voted out.
Yeah, you don't want that. Right. So you want to be like, dude, I'm a faithful. I'm with you. Let's figure out who these traitors are. Oh, and you
But that needs to be a traitor.
Exactly. Okay. So like there's just, yeah, it's just.
And where do I find the show?
On The Crave. Canada, okay. Which incorporates
HBO Max.
HBO Max. For anybody that might be listening. So I would recommend checking out.
Okay. That sounds cool. Traitors.
Yeah, there you go.
I got quite cultured over the break. I've watched a lot. We don't need to talk about all these, but I watched your theater camp.
Mm-hmm.
I told you it was okay.
Yeah, great.
It was okay. Lots of funny comedians in there. I think I was maybe hoping it to be a little bit more ha 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 funny with the comedians that I saw in there, but still there's some funny moments.
I watched it again during my Christmas break and I enjoyed.
Well, you like Howard's End.
Theater camp. Good movie, everybody.
I'm going to pronounce this wrong. Russ will correct me.
Oppenheimer.
Oppenheimer was very good. Not my favorite Chris Nolan movie, though.
It's going to be his Oscar.
It will. Winning. That's funny. Funny enough, but it's probably, I don't think it's his best.
But also that sometimes that happens, right? Yeah. You just kind of award the.
Yeah.
Like
I'm sure Martin Scorsese got awarded. Or has he been? I think he... What did he get awarded for?
For The Revenant? No.
No,
That was Leonardo DiCaprio. Yeah,
that was Cuarón.
Yeah. Did he get for the one with the...
The Irishman?
No, he didn't. He got nominated for that. But what about the one with Jack Nicholson, Leonardo DiCaprio, and Matt Damon?
Oh, The Departed.
The Departed?
Was I think it maybe The Departed he got it for? Maybe, yeah. Whereas maybe he should have won for Goodfellas.
Yeah.
Goodfellas. We were talking about Watch Anatomy of the Fall. Meh, it's okay. I wanted to see what all the hype up was about. Certainly didn't live up to that. Killers of a Flower Moon. Excellent, excellent movie. Very long, though. Had to do it in a couple chunks. 3.5 hours is a long time to sit. But it was entertaining. When I was watching it, it was engaging. Good old Martin Scorsese. Amazing lead actress in that. Leo plays quite a different role in that. He plays kind of the chump, you know, a jerk.
Yeah.
He's
not. Well, and I think it's very important to show that the white characters are not the good characters. They're the evil ones. They're killing this indigenous culture.
True.
And they need to be represented as such. And then you go Last of the Mohicans, like 1992. Like, there's obviously a discrepancy about, who's telling the story.
Well, I know some people had... There was some early backlash. They're like, oh, I don't like how you guys portrayed Leo DiCaprio as the hero. And I don't think he was portrayed as the hero. I think he just had a bit of a conscience at the end and decided... But he... he spent life in prison too, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. And well, he got out. He didn't spend life in prison.
Oh, didn't he?
Like at the end, it says like he gets out and then he like goes to live with his brother.
Oh right, right.
Yeah.
Right. Two of my favorite movies that I watched over the break, Society of the Snow.
Mm-hmm. Good one, yeah.
Excellent, excellent movie. Way better than the Alive movie that they did back in the 90s.
Again, probably as far as the who they casted in that movie back in the 90s, I don't think any of them were actually South American actors.
Yeah, yeah, and these guys all seemed like they were.
Yep.
But I think my favorite movie of the break, and a couple years old, was Ford versus Ferrari. Such a good story. Amazing story of them. Ford trying to get into the what's it called? The Le Mans.
Le Mans race?
World racing, yeah. Mm-hmm. Le Mans. Something that Ferrari would win year over year.
Did it make you want to see the Michael Mann movie Ferrari?
No.
No.
No, maybe. Yeah, I want to see it, but I don't have any desire to run it. I didn't have any desire to run it to the theater.
It's probably out of the theaters now. I don't think anyone had any desire to run it to the theaters.
I've
heard it's good.
Okay. Disappointment over the break. Leave the World Behind, that Julia Roberts, Ethan Hawke movie about the cyber attack or whatever. Like that horrible, horrible directing in that movie that had a star-studded cast. It could have been so much better. And then recently I watched a couple really old ones, not really old ones, but, late 80s, Ghost in the Darkness, a story about the two man-eating lions, in Africa, when, Val Kilmer and Michael Douglas, it's way back in the day, I believe Second World War, First World War.
I mean, I feel like I've seen it, but I have no memory of that.
He's a bridge builder, commissioned to build a bridge in Africa, and they get sidetracked when two man-eating lions start to attack everybody.
Is that good?
It's really good.
Where did you see that? On the internet?
Yeah, on the internet. I believe it's on Crave or something like that. Yeah, okay. And then Roadhouse. Obviously, Roadhouse, if you need a mindless booby-watching, throat-ripping, sweaty Patrick Swayze. You know, if you need just something to cleanse your 13-year-old teenage palate, go for it.
Nice. Yeah. Thank you for all the recommendations.
You're welcome.
I heard Theater Camp.
Yeah, that's all you heard there.
And I will watch that again. I did watch...
Did you watch Wonka?
I took the kids to Wonka.
Oh, you took them to it?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
That's how you go see movies. You go to the theater.
Well, it's out there now. Wonka's out there now.
Sure. Well, you
can watch Wonka.
Oh, like you can pay $30 to watch it at home?
Yeah, you can rent it at home now.
Yeah, no, I like the theater experience.
Nice.
You get the popcorn.
For sure.
And it was great. It was a lot of fun.
Okay.
Same guy who did the Paddington 1 and 2.
I haven't seen those.
You never seen Paddington?
I don't think so.
Did you watch the Matilda on Netflix? Did your kids enjoy them? Did they?
The original Matilda.
No, no.
With Danny DeVito.
No, yeah, there's a newer one. It's more of a musical. I think
the girls watched a bit of it. I never saw it.
Yeah, it's good. I think the same guy who either choreographed or did the music for that one also did for Wonka. Mm. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. You know, leave your brain behind. Don't do a complete comparison to the old Wonka, but just kind of enjoy it. And I'm not talking about the Johnny Depp one. I did a little bit of a Damien Chazelle, a deep dive because of my love for La La Land. So I finally watched Babylon. I really enjoyed that. Speaking of the fact that you watched Theater Camp, I took your recommendation and watched Talk to Me.
Oh, yeah.
Which was the Australian horror movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And quite good.
Yeah, different.
I don't think I'll watch it again and again like I will Theater Camp. But it was, super interesting. Good ending.
Yeah, the ending's really super cool. Good ending. Spoilers, like, plug your ears if you don't want to listen, hear about Talk to Me there. But I really liked at the ending just the complete lack of understanding of how much time had progressed since when she, like, from when she sort of gets in an accident and dies
at the end
to the very, very end.
Right, right. You don't know. Yeah.
No, but in her.
It's happening right there.
Yeah,
right
now. In her, right. It's maybe a couple minutes.
Right.
But whereas in the natural world, it seemed like it could have been a year. Right. Who knows how long, right?
Yeah. Yeah, she goes from complete darkness to suddenly being called out of
hell. She became one of the spirits that was being connected to through the creepy.
Good spin.
Yeah, excellent ending. Really cool.
I gotta get the cards for a random movie trivia game suit.
My goodness, filibuster time it is. Well,
That's because Russ is here.
My Little Buttercup
has the sweetest smile.
This song ranked number two in 1992, just after the theme music for Howard's End, actually.
Academy Award winning Three Amigos. So this is the part of the podcast where we play random movie trivia game.
Random movie trivia game. Yeah, he can do it. Or,
yeah, what he said.
Know, yeah, yeah.
Where we have this box of cards from London Drugs, and you've picked wherever you want.
You know what? I always you pick. Okay, sure. I could change it up. My card this week.
Oh, I pick. Yeah, it doesn't.
Oh, whatever, man.
So each card has four questions. We haven't seen these questions before. Whoever gets the most questions right wins. All right. Do you want to go first?
Like, I ask you or you ask
me? I'll ask you first.
Okay.
Here we go. Tom Hanks stars opposite what actress in Sleepless in Seattle?
Meg Ryan.
That's correct. Good for you. See? Sean for 2024.
Okay. Who stars with Jim Carrey in Dumb and Dumber? Who stars with Jim Carrey in Dumb and Dumber?
Jeff Bridges? Why that's not right. Oh my god, that's like the Big Lebowski.
You said a name. Jesus Christ. Just kidding. Go for it. Don't you have their poster up?
No, I don't.
Oh. Your time would be up by now.
Yeah, I'm done. It's the guy from
first name right, second name is Daniels. That would be a Jeff Daniels.
I couldn't get Jeff Daniels.
Would you call him Jeff Who?
I said I couldn't get there.
No, you said Jeff Who though.
Jeff Who?
No, you said a Jeff. You said Jeff somebody.
I don't know, dude.
I don't remember.
I said Jeff Bridges.
Jeff Bridges, right? Okay. So you do Lebowski. Know. You just didn't want to say. Okay, go.
Who plays Evelyn Salt in the thriller Salt?
Angelina Jolie.
That's right. Jeff.
Jeff Bridges. All right.
Okay. Gotta get my head in the game.
Multiple choice. Here we go. What is the name of the disease in Mission Impossible 2?
Fuck off.
Omega, Chimera, or Kronos?
I don't know. Omega. Oh, man.
It was B, Chimera.
Oh, interesting. He does some cliff climbing.
Oh, that's his token stunt in number two?
I think, isn't it? Like, he's got long hair in number two.
I thought it was number three. No. I don't know.
Wasn't the number two what everyone kind of just like...
I thought that was number three, the John Woo one.
Oh, I thought number two was a John Woo one. See, no. What do we know?
We know nothing.
Here we
Apparently
go.
Apparently not much. You've got nothing. I've got two.
Who plays the professor in My Fair Lady? Oh, there we go. I got one for this one. Who plays the professor in My Fair Lady? Bum, 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 bum. All of our 80-year-old listeners are all screaming at their Walkmans.
Oh, what's his name? The guy Jeff from Mary Bridges. Poppins.
Oh.
I don't know.
Emily Blunt.
Emily Blunt's grandfather.
Yeah, Rex Harrison.
Okay, would not have known that.
T. Rex Harrison.
All right, you ready?
Jeff Daniels. Ooh, this could be a tough one. Jeff Daniels.
What paper do the characters in Spotlight work for?
Ooh.
What is the newspaper in Spotlight?
I'm going to say New York Times. Washington Post. What is
it? One more, come on.
None
of those cities.
I'm going to say it's like an East Coast East Coast city.
Yep.
Boston Herald.
Oh, close. Boston Globe.
Oh, Boston Globe.
Close.
I don't even know if there's a Boston Herald.
Well, exactly. Do we even know what
Academy Award-winning Spotlight.
Okay. Hit me, baby, one more time.
Well, what decade saw the release of the original kaiju movie Godzilla?
What decade?
So in the 19...
Right.
Saw the release of the original kaiju movie Godzilla. Gonna go for 3 points here, Sean. 1950s, correct. That's good. Decade. What you got? Last question that I will also get wrong. I've gotten three wrong, right?
Yeah.
Oh, great.
And I got three out of four? Yes.
Okay.
Okay. So let's just finish it off, right? Okay,
here we go.
In Watchmen, what character uses Lorenzo's oil? In Watchmen, what character is blue and naked? What's the name of the blue guy?
God, I was just thinking.
Who's the guy with the blue balls Watchmen?
Why are you looking at my balls?
I don't.
Because you got no clothes on, dude.
I don't.
Why do you need to look at my balls?
I was just thinking of the Watchmen. More than the HBO series.
Come on. What's his name?
Dr. Manhattan.
There you go.
Thank you for giving me something. Because I couldn't get there. But unless you... Thank you for giving me something.
Random movie trivia game.
That's right. Yeah, so, a complete sweep.
I won.
Sean won. Congratulations.
Start off the year. This is your year. My year.
All right. Love you, buddy. That's it.
Hey, I love you, too. Have a good one.
Have a good one.
In what world
would Sean watch Howard's End again?
Is the exit button?
Oh, here we go. This is it. I like this and you like that.
It's just another review podcast. We pick a show, sit down and chat. Now listen to the start of our show, cause it's now.
Hello.
Hello, is this the Queen?
Yes. Hello.
Hello, Queen.
I heard you watched my favorite movie.
Howard's End, yes.
Howard's End?
Oh, sorry, Roadhouse.
Roadhouse, yes. Boobs, throat kicks, spins, and Patrick Swayze's all sweaty bottom. Oh, I so did love it so much. And you?
I haven't seen it, unfortunately, Miss Deceased Queen Elizabeth. But I will make a promise and vow now to you. Oh, hello? Oh, man.